This is my Bible. Hold it up now, make the devil mad. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. One more time, Sunday morning, praise unto the Lord. Amen. Open your Bible with me, if you would please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm chapter 5. And before we start reading, let me just explain what we're going to talk about today. We're in a series called Welcome Home. Welcome Home. Now, what's this all about, Pastor? I've been out. I've been on vacation. I've been gone during the summer. I'm back. Or, Pastor, I'm new. Or, Pastor, I've just been coming and I haven't quite got it yet. What's it all about, Welcome Home? Well, you know, Welcome Home is one of our power phrases. Power phrases at Church on the Rock. You do know we have power phrases. You know, the power phrase like we're lifelong learners. That's a power phrase. The power phrase that says you worship one and you serve one. That's a power phrase. These are the power phrases that we teach and train and pass down to our dream teamers, and then they're to pass it on to the rest of the congregation. The power phrase that winners are constantly working on their attitude. This is a power phrase, welcome home. Now you say, Pastor, what are power phrases all about? Power phrases, through them, you pass down the culture of an organization. Through language, you pass down the vision of a department, of a corporation, of a business, of a church. In fact, Pastor, I still don't understand. Oh, I know you really do if you think about it. Because in your own family, you find yourself saying things your dad said, your mother said, your grandfather said, a favorite uncle, a phrase they said, you're saying. What are you doing? You're passing down the culture of your family. And so we are very intentional. We are not just happening. We are very purposeful, everything we do in this church. So the power phrase of welcome home, it's a power phrase. It's to pass down the culture. That way, this church is not built on a personality. It's built on a purpose. Come on, somebody. We don't want to build this church on me or any of the staff or any people of departments so that when I'm not here or the staff isn't here, you still are. Going strong, moving forward, getting better every day in every way. Am I making sense today? See, when you pass down these power phrases in the church, then the church isn't built on a man. It's built on a mission. And our mission is to lead people to a God who's for them. That's a power phrase. And help them discover His purpose for their life. Am I making sense now? So the power phrase of welcome home, what's it all about? Well, it's all about creating an atmosphere, creating an environment. So that when people come here, they feel at home. So that when you come here, you feel welcome. Now, you and I have both been to churches in our lifetime where we went there and we felt like that they didn't want us there. That we weren't accepted there. That we weren't needed or valued or appreciated there. We've all had that experience. We don't want anybody to experience that here at Church on the Rock. We want everybody to know that no matter the color of your skin or your economic status or what you've been through, no matter the difficulties you've had, the challenges you've had, no matter the cycles and the seasons and the tragedy and the trauma that you've gone through, no matter if your life is a mess, you are welcome at Church on the Rock. And we want you to feel at home when you come here. That's what this is all about. Because, you see, atmosphere is everything. If I go into your house today, this afternoon, I can tell you what's been going on just by the climate, the environment, the spirit, the atmosphere of your house. I can tell if you've been fighting or quarreling, fussing. You can too, right? Or if you've been having a party and been celebrating the goodness of God and the joy of the Lord is in your house. So atmosphere is everything. We at church, we should then be intentional. If they are at the restaurant you're going to go to this afternoon, they're intentional about atmosphere. If you go to a fast food restaurant, they got fast music and bright lights. They want to get you in, get you full, and get you out. If you go to another restaurant that has low dim lights, slow music, relaxed atmosphere, they want you to stay longer, spend more, and partake of the dessert. Amen. So what's that all about? Atmosphere. Atmosphere. So the atmosphere in our home, the atmosphere in our church is crucial to what's going on in that particular place. Here at Church on the Rock, we want to create an atmosphere, an environment for people to have transformation, for people, for their life to change. You see, folks, if we really want to win in life, we want our life to get a little bit better every day of our life. You want to get a little bit better every day of your life. You're not going to waste your life. You're going to invest your life. You're not going to slide through. You're not going to be average. You're not just going to get by. You're not going to be like the crowd. You're not going to be like anybody else. You've decided you're going to be a champion. You've decided you're going to be a winner. You've decided you're going to be an overcomer. You've decided you're going to stand out. You're going to be the head and not the tail. To do that, you have to have the mindset of growth, a growth mindset. And a growth mindset, say growth mindset. A growth mindset wants to get a little bit better every day. I want to get a little bit better every day as your pastor, as your leader, as your feeder. I want to get a little bit better every day as a husband, as a grandfather, as a son, as a brother. I want to get a little bit better every day. Now, to do that, you have to have the atmosphere for growth. You have to have the greenhouse for growth. Am I connecting with you today? So here at Church on the Rock, we want people to grow. We want people to change. We want people to have transformation in their life. We don't want them to waste their life or regret their life, but we want them to have a life that's fulfilling and satisfying and thrilling. Amen, church? So with all of that in mind, that's what we're talking about, is a place where people can change, they can feel safe. Because if you don't feel safe, you won't open your heart. If you don't feel safe, you won't open your heart. If you don't feel accepted and loved, you won't open your heart. So that's why here at Church on the Rock, we want people to know God is for you. We want people to know God loves you. We want people to know God has a plan for your life. We want people to know that God wants you in His family. And when that gets through and sticks in your spirit, you'll open your heart. You'll feel safe. You'll feel accepted. You'll feel loved. And then you are set up and positioned for transformation. Amen. Amen, church. So let's look at it. Psalm 5, verse 11. Let's begin our journey. Psalm 5, verse 11. But you, the psalmist says to God, you will welcome us with open arms. That's what we want to do at Church on the Rock, right? That's one of our power phrases. You pass down the vision and the culture through language. Just like, you know, if you're over a department, like Ron up here is over the department, the best way he can pass on the culture he wants in his department is through language, is through phrases. That's what they do at Wally World. That's what they used to do at Sears. Anybody remember Sears? You know, and that's how you pass it down. So our power phrase for this month is welcome home. What are we saying? Our arms are wide open at Church on the Rock. We accept people of all color, all background, all age, all status. We just love God and we love people. And we believe that people can change. We believe we can get better. We believe we can grow. We believe we can excel. We believe we have a life to live for. Amen? So he says that you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. So when we're in trouble, let's run to church. When we're having a hard time of life, let's run to church, not from church. Amen? So we run to you for cover. Let the party, boy, I like that atmosphere. Let the party last all night. So if you're in a night season, throw a party. Y'all get that revelation? The night season represents a difficult time of your life. What did Paul and Silas do at midnight? They sang praises unto God in prison. So if you're going through a night season, boy, Pastor, I'm really struggling today. What should I do? Count it all joy. Throw a party and begin to celebrate the goodness of God in your life. And watch everything change in your life for the better. So he said, let the party last all night. Stand guard over our celebration. So it shouldn't be a place of condemnation. It should be a place of celebration. And we established, didn't we, church, that this is a place of a no condemnation zone. And what does that mean? You can come here and change. You can come here and get a second chance. You can come here and start over again. You can come here if you've stumbled this week. We've all stumbled this week. You can get up, get moving, and get a little bit better every day of your life. Go ahead, give the Lord a good celebration, would you? Amen. So let me give you a story real quick. Here's an illustration, a story in the Bible. And those of us who have been Christians for a while, we know this story. And that's, if you don't, let me just share it with you real briefly. It's in John chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. And it's with Jesus with the woman at the well. Do y'all remember that story, those of you who have read it before? And it's a wonderful picture and story of how Jesus and his love and his plan can transcend over racial barriers. Yeah, because Jesus was a Jew and the lady was a Samaritan. It'd be like black versus white, or white versus brown, or brown versus, you know, red or whatever. And notice that she was a Samaritan, the woman at the well, and Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. But notice, what did Jesus do to her? Jesus didn't tell her what she was doing wrong. Jesus didn't point out her faults and condemn her for her faults. Jesus kept pointing her to him. Jesus kept pointing her to him. Remember, she came there for water at the well, and she's thinking natural water, natural needs. And Jesus said to her, I've got living water you know not of that will satisfy and meet every need in your life. She said, well, we got to worship in this mountain. And he said, you know, you're going to worship in this mountain right now, but God's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all remember the dialogue? You know, just fake it till you make it, act like you know what I'm talking about. So it's a great story, if you ever want to study it, in John chapter 4, where we see that she made every excuse why she couldn't come to him, and he wouldn't allow her excuses to stand between him and her. Well, I made too many mistakes. And remember, I said last week she'd been married 4 times. I was wrong. She'd been married 5 times. She'd been married 5 times to different husbands and couldn't make it work. She couldn't make a marriage work. And she was living with a guy right then and there. That's called fornication. Okay? And so, yet Jesus still loved her. He still reached out to her. He didn't condemn her, did he? There was no condemnation. So you know what happened? He kept pointing her to him. Kept pointing her to him. What's that like? Let's stop preaching what we're against and let's start talking about what we're for. And God is for you today, no matter the mess ups in your life, no matter the struggles, no matter the failures, the faults, God is for you today and has a plan for your life, and it's good. And so what happens? Transformation. Because she eventually calls Jesus Lord. That would be like getting saved. And then what happens? She's got to go tell somebody. You know, when change begins to happen in your life, it's a lasting change. You got to go tell somebody. When something good has happened in your life, you got to go tell somebody. So what does she do? The first thing she does is go back in the city and tell the men. She knew a lot of those men in the city. She had influence with them. And so what happens? She said, come see a man that knows everything about me, but still loved me. Come see a man that told all these things that I didn't tell him. He must be a prophet. He must be the Messiah, because he told me things that I didn't tell him. He knew about me, and yet he still accepted me and he loved me. Amazing, right? So her transformation in an atmosphere of no condemnation, she brings all of these men out to Jesus. And the Bible says in John chapter 4 that many of them believed on him because of her word, her testimony. So you can make a difference with your life, right? When you meet Jesus and your life is transformed, you have a testimony. You have a story. And when you share your story with the people you connect with, then life change goes on. So what do we want at Church on the Rock? We want a message like that. A life-giving, 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 life-changing message every time you come at Church on the Rock. Can we have a selah and give God praise right now? Come on, somebody. Amen. So I want to know what this looks like, Pastor. Welcome home, power phrase, passing down culture. This is what Church on the Rock is like. It's a place of no condemnation, so there can be transformation. It's a place where people can have hope, start over, begin again, get up, hang on to their dream, not give up. You know, what does this look like? Let me show you what it looks like from Scripture. Luke chapter 6, look on the overheads with me, and verse 35. I tell you, slap your enemies. Get even with your enemies. Put all that you don't like about your enemies on social media. No, it says love your enemies, help and give without expecting anything in return. Why? Because you're not going to get anything back from them in return. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And they won't reward you, but God will reward you. And so it says, I tell you, love your enemies, help and give without expecting in return. You'll never, now this is a promise from Jesus, right? If Jesus said it, that settles it. We stand on it, right? Jesus said, I promise you, you'll never, I promise, regret it. You will live out a God-created identity, a God-created identity that God has planned for you. I want to bring two things to you. I want to bring the word regret and identity, okay? So at Church on the Rock, we want to help people overcome their regrets. And maybe we've all done things we regret, but we can start anew today and begin to live a life of no regret. We can live a life of no regret. We can live a life of living out the identity that God has planned and created for all of us. Can I have a witness in the house? Living out a life of no regret. Now, we all have regrets, but why don't we just mark the line in the sand today and say everything changes today? That I'm going to, on purpose, live my life with no regrets. Now, how do you do that? You ready? Make a bucket list. Make a bucket list for your life. What do you want to do before you die? That's the question I submit to you today. What do you want to do before you die? A bucket list. A bucket list is a list of things you want to do before you kick the bucket. Years ago, there was a movie that came out. I never did get to see it, but my pastor, Tommy Barnett, it said to me, Dave, you've got to go see this movie. This is incredible. He said, it caused me to enlarge my bucket list. So how do you live a life of no regret? Because welcome home means to me that when people come here and we've all made wrong choices and we regret it, well, why don't we start over? Why don't we begin anew? Why don't we intentionally live out a life with the identity that God has for us? In other words, the person that God wants us to be. Now, you can go on the internet and prove anything, right, church? I mean, you can go on the internet and prove anything. But I looked on the internet and I looked at, you know, a list of regrets, of the top regrets of people that were dying. And I found this one case where a medical doctor had taken these people who had 6 months left to live. 6 months left to live. 6 months left to live. And asked them, what is your greatest regret? The elderly people, they were dying. They had 6 months or less. And this doctor asked them, what is your greatest regret? And they said, all of them, the majority of them said, our greatest regret is we failed to live out our true identity. We failed to live out our true identity. What were they saying? We never really became the person we were supposed to be. We never really did what we were supposed to do. They were saying that we were people pleasers. They were saying that we gave in to circumstances. We gave in to what other people thought we should be or do or become or have. They said our greatest regret is we look back on our life and we weren't true to our real identity. Well, you know, I liken that to the spiritual realm for you and I. We are not to live a life of regret. We are to live a life of living out the identity that God has for you and me. And that's why I say before I teach every service, I'm helping you with that. I'm helping you with that because what am I saying? We're declaring who God says we are. Who God says we are. And you're a champion. You're an overcomer. You're a new creation. You are a king's kid. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You should live up to that. You should live up to that. You should put your shoulders back and your head up high and live out the God-planned life He has for you. So when we say welcome home to people whose life is a mess and they have nothing but regrets, you can change. You can transform. It can all happen right here, right now, today, by beginning to have an experience, an encounter with God, and then make a bucket list, a spiritual bucket list, a natural bucket list. What do you want to do before you die? What do you want to do before you kick the bucket? Are you with me, church? So notice that it's so important that we live out our true identity. That was their greatest regret. We didn't live up to our potential. We didn't fulfill our dream. We didn't accomplish what we felt we should do. Well, you know what? You and I, we don't have to have that same regret. Because you and I, once you know who you are in God, then what do I tell you? Declare what you have in God. And then what do I tell you? Declare what you can do in God. Every service, I'm working on your identity. That you won't be who people think you are or should be or should have or where you should go, but you'll find out the person God wants you to be. You'll discover His purpose for your life. You'll make a difference with your life, a life of no regrets. Come on, let's have a Selah moment and give the Lord a praise. Everyone say, a bucket list. Okay? So how does that work? How does that work? Let's find out. Let's go to Psalm 90. Be on the overheads for you. Am I helping anybody today? Psalm 90. This is what our power phrase is all about. Welcome home. Psalm 90. Now, y'all know Psalms. You know, many of the Psalms are written by David, right? The psalmist. But Psalm 90 was written by Moses. Did you know that? Psalm 90 and 91 was written by Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. And look what he says. Now, we're finding out how to live a life intentionally on purpose. We're finding out how to live a life of no regret. And how do you do that? You make a bucket list. How do you do that? You find out God's dream for your life, God's goals for your life, God's ambition and aspiration that He has for you, the things that He wants you to achieve while you're on this planet. Amen. So look what he says. Lord, through all generations, and how many of you know generations come and they go, right? Through all generations, you have been our... Now, family, I worked really hard to find a scripture with the word home in it. So I hope you appreciate that. But look what Moses, the greatest leader in the Old Testament, said. He said, through all generations, God, you have been our welcome home. Pastor, how do you apply that to everyday life? God wants you to be at home in Him. Do you know, growing up when I was a kid, we lived in a little small town in southern Iowa, and it was like Mayberry. And, you know, I remember every night my dad had this ritual. Every night my dad would go through the house, and what would he do? Lock the doors, check the windows, turn off the lights. And being in his house and his home gave me security, gave me safety, gave me peace, gave me, as a little boy, at rest. Everything's okay. My dad, my father, just went through the house and did his nightly ritual. Well, what Moses is saying here is that God wants you to be at rest, at peace, and feel safe in Him. When you don't feel safe, you're not open to change. When you're at unrest, you can never transform. When you're at turmoil, when you are upset, there's no good transformation happening in our life. We have to feel at rest, we have to feel at peace, and we have to feel secure and safe. Amen, church? So, next verse, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to the end, you are God. Now, that should give you peace, because from the beginning to the end, so there's no beginning and there's no end with God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And you know, through all generations, through all the seasons of your life, through every day of your life, through every week and month of your life, God's the same. God's God, and God don't change. That's good to know in a world that's changing constantly. We can be at rest and safe in a God and be at home with Him, knowing that God never changes. That He has no beginning and He has no end. He's the everlasting Father, from everlasting to everlasting. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's look at it in a different translation, if we could. Psalm 90, verse 1. I think the Message, Psalm 90, verse 1. God, it seems you've been our home forever. Next verse. Long before the mountains were born, long before you brought earth itself to birth, from once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. Isn't that rich? Same chapter, let's look at verse 12, and we're talking about how to live a life of no regret, because we want people to have transformation, because there's no condemnation. We're not going to pick on people. We're not going to point out their faults. Amen, church. We're going to love them, accept them, and forgive them, just like our Heavenly Father, with open arms. That creates an atmosphere for an experience and encounter with God for transformation. From a life of all kinds of regrets to a life of no regret. A full-blown, broad, big, successful life. Amen? So how do we do that? Look at verse 12. Teach us. Everyone say, teach us. See, that's what I'm doing for you right now. I'm teaching you how to maximize every day of your life. I'm teaching you how to maximize your life. To do that, you got to be intentional. You got to do it on purpose. There's got to be forethought. There's got to be work towards it. And so notice he said, teach us to number our days. Why should we number our days? Because your days are numbered. Why should we number our days? Because your days are numbered. And you're going to get the most out of your day and the most out of your life, and you're going to maximize it with a bucket list. What do you want to do before you die? So look what he says. Teach us to number our days and recognize how they are. Help us to spend them, not waste them, but spend them as we should. Isn't that a powerful verse? Another translation. Do we have another translation of that verse, guys? Oh, teach us to. What am I doing for you right now? Teaching you how to live well. Not waste your life, but live well. No regrets. Full-blown. Successful. Abundant. Satisfying. Looking back. And you didn't fail to live up to who God says you are, what God says you have, what God says you can do. You lived a full life. You lived life well without recognizing your days, being grateful for your days, maximizing your days, not sleeping through your days, but be awake and alert and sober and growing and getting a little better every day of your life. You're going to live well. Amen, church. You're going to live well. Oh, teach us to live well. Teach us to live wisely and teach us to live well. It starts with daily goals. It starts with a bucket list. I've got a bucket list, and my bucket list keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I challenge you. Answer the question this afternoon in your own life. What do you want to do before you die? Ask yourself, what's your bucket list? Spiritually, physically, financially. In fact, can I help you out? I've given you five things to do. You ready for the to-do list? Okay, as the team comes out. Let's put it up, guys. How to live well and not regret your life. How to live well and not regret your life. Say that with me. You're going to have to get a bucket list. What's that look like, Pastor? You can work on it this afternoon. Number one is, who do you want to become? Who do you want to be? What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to learn? And what kind of life do you want to leave as a legacy? What do you want to be known for? What do you want on your tombstone? What do you want your epitaph to be? Who do you want to become? I believe all of us here at Church on the Rock, we have a growth mindset. I believe all of us want to get better every day. Not once in a while. Not excited, motivated once in a great while. But notice he said, teach us how to live well every, and again I say, every day. What's that? You got to maximize your day. How do you do that? To live well. How do you do that? Get a bucket list. And so what's that? Who do you want to become? I want to be a leader of leaders. I want to impact people. I want to see change happen, lasting change. I want to see people raised up under our ministry that will impact their family, their neighborhood, their city, and nations. You know, Wednesday night we had one of our missionaries here from India, and we were talking about, he was telling me about a tribe that they've just reached. Now think about this, those of you who give to missions at our church. Now we've been supporting this gentleman and his family for 20 years through John Osteen introduced me. He told me, Pastor, we just reached a tribe that had never heard the gospel in India, in the mountains. And he said this tribe, they still had human sacrifices. They were still sacrificing humans and having cannibalism in India, in the mountains. They were an unreached tribe. And he said, we've gone in there and we now have planted 5 churches from within those people of that tribe. Think about it. Amen. So he said, Pastor, we have another tribe kind of like that, that we'd like Church on the Rock to partner with us to reach that unreached tribe and start and plant churches there. That's what I'd like to see. Amen? Making a difference with your life. Number two, how to create a bucket list. Number two, please. Who do you want to know? Who do you want to be? Number two, who do you want to know on your bucket list? We do this at our family, you know. Who would you like to know? You know, this is just a little thing here, that those people that are your mentors, life coaches, that you respect, that have influence over your life, you need to ask them, who are two people you know that I need to know? Who are two people you know that I need to know? When Peter Daniels, the billionaire from Australia, he used to come to our church, and when Peter would come here, a billionaire, but yet he would ask me, Pastor, who are two pastors that you know that I need to know? That's where I learned that from. Who are two people, the people that are movers and shakers and influence you, who do you need to know today to achieve your bucket list? Because we all need people in our life. That's why we have small groups at Church on the Rock. We all need relationships. We all need a team. We all need a group. We all need a tribe. Because we never can fulfill our bucket list by ourselves. Amen. Number three. Where do you want to grow? Where do you want to grow? Well, Pastor, I lose my temper. Okay, let's start there. Well, Pastor, I'm prejudiced. Let's start there. Well, Pastor, I'm a hater. Let's start there. Well, Pastor, I'm real critical. Let's start there. Well, Pastor, I just don't have a drive. Let's start there. Well, Pastor, I'm lazy. Let's start there. But where do you want to grow? You see, who do you want to become? Who do you want to know? Where do you want to grow? Bucket list. Living life on purpose. Making a difference with no regrets. Remember, the number one regret of those people that had 6 months to live was we failed to live up to our true identity. And you want to know what they had five. You want to know what their second one was? We worked too much. We put materialism over our family, over our church, over our friends. We work too much. Someone asked Billy Graham before he died, Billy, if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? Billy Graham said, I'd preach less and pray more. Billy Graham, I'd pray more. So number four on a bucket list, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? I just encourage you. Is this causing you to think? Two of you are excited about Pastor's sermon day. Come on, folks. This is top-level stuff. Come on. You are going to stand before God and answer for what you did with what he gave you. And if I'm your feeder and leader, I want you to maximize your life. I'm here for you to maximize your life. And don't settle for apathy and average. This is not an average church. Think about it. You're sitting in a dream. You're sitting in the largest sanctuary in St. Charles County. You drive on this campus, you should think big. We were told it could never happen. When I came here and started this church, the largest church like ours was 100 people. You should think more about the God who's on the inside of you. Don't belittle your life. Don't live a life of regret. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Where do you want to go? I've got planned out for the next 3 years on my mirror upstairs in my bathroom where I want to take my family each year, where I want to go, where I want to go, where I want to take them. What's on your bucket list today? Do you even have a bucket list? Have you ever thought about what do you want to do yet with your life before you die? And then the last one is number 5. What do you want to sow? I knew, preacher, you were going to get to giving. Praise the Lord. What do you want to sow? You know, you might want to sow a house for your kids, a house for your grandkids. You might want to be able to pay for your grandkids or your kids' college. What do you want to sow? These are the things on how you make your bucket list, on how you live life on purpose, and how you make a difference and maximize and number your days, because your days are numbered. Are you with me, church? Now, in conclusion, you read it off to me. Number 1 is what? Number 2? Number 3? Number 4, and number 5. Did y'all get anything today? Welcome home, everybody. Give the Lord all the praise.